if I'm saying it right.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm Jennifer Swigert, here on behalf of the appellant, Thomas Gauthier. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, please. As the Court is well aware, DNA provides an immense amount of information about a person. As a result, many in our society, whether innocent or guilty or somewhere in between, are leery of handing that information over to a government database. Fortunately, we enjoy the right to refuse consent to a warrantless search, to a warrantless invasion of our bodily privacy, to provide a DNA sample. We have a right to insist that the police follow the constitutionally mandated procedure of demonstrating to a neutral magistrate that there's probable cause before conducting a search. But if our insistence on this constitutional principle can be used at trial as evidence of guilt, then that right to refuse consent is essentially an illusion. If the state can stand up at trial and argue that only the guilty refuse to hand over their DNA without a warrant, then even the most pristinely innocent among us will not dare to refuse, and the warrant requirement of the Fourth Amendment will be essentially meaningless. Mr. Gauthier was cross-examined about his decision not to voluntarily provide a DNA sample. Among the last things that the jury heard before retiring to deliberate was this: you don't want to provide your DNA sample because you know it's going to be there, because you're guilty. Because Mr. Gauthier was unfairly penalized for exercising his constitutional right to refuse consent to a warrantless search, his conviction should be reversed. There are three legal grounds for reversal in this case. First, the evidence and argument linking his refusal of consent to substantive evidence of guilt violates the Fourth Amendment and Article 1, Section 7 of Washington's Constitution.
I think we understand your arguments on those points, and if we accepted the first one, we would not need to discuss the second two, would we?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Thank you.
What about impeachment?
This was not a question of impeachment, Your Honor. State v. Burke describes impeachment as usually inconsistent statements that are brought up, prior inconsistent statements that are brought up to essentially show that the witness is not credible because they've said something different on a previous occasion. That's not at all what happened here. Nothing that Mr. Gauthier testified to at trial was contradicted by his previous refusal to consent to this warrantless search of his DNA, search of his body. He didn't bring it up on his direct testimony. This was first brought up on cross-examination by the prosecutor, and there's no he made no material assertion that could be rebutted by the fact that he declined to hand over his DNA without a warrant. So we're not talking about an impeachment-type situation here. The cases where we have evidence of impeachment, you have things like, for example, a defendant who's asserting he had no dominion and control over the property. And so then the prosecutor is allowed to bring this in to say, well, you refused us consent to search. You told us we couldn't come in. That seems to be evidence of dominion and control over the property. That's not at all what we have here. This is the police asked him for his DNA. He didn't give it. That has nothing to do whatsoever with whether or not the alleged victim in this case consented to the sexual activity that occurred. Essentially, if we allow this type of argument, the consent exception will essentially swallow the entire warrant requirement, because people will always consent in order to avoid appearing guilty at trial. Looked at another way, no consent is valid because they're all coerced by the threat of appearing guilty at trial if you refuse consent. It's simply a no-win situation. The Washington Supreme Court said in State v. Easter, when the state may later comment that an accused did not speak up prior to an arrest, the accused has effectively lost the right to silence. And the same is true of the right to privacy that's at issue here. And so, if the state can make this type of argument, not just Mr. Gauthier, but everyone has essentially lost the right to refuse consent to a warrantless search. So we would ask that this court reverse. and I'll reserve the remainder of my time if the court has no questions.
You.
Good morning. May it please the court, Deborah Dwyer representing the state of Washington, the respondent in this case. I think it's important at the outset to separate the two claims of error here. The first claim of error relates to the state's use of the defendant's refusal to provide a DNA cheek swab for DNA purposes in cross-examination of the defendant as impeachment. This was proper. The second.
What was it that was being impeached? I couldn't find in the record any assertion by him that he had been fully cooperative or that he had not denied or otherwise.
No, it was impeaching his story at trial. That's what the prosecutor was doing with his prior refusal to provide identification evidence. The story he gave at trial was a very detailed account of a consensual act of oral sex with a prostitute in return for an offer of money. Identity has nothing to do with a story like this. Of course it was me, he's saying, but it was consensual.
True. If that's true, you didn't need the swab either.
Well, no, the state always needs a swab. The state takes, they already had, as the record shows, the state already had Mr. Gauthier's DNA from other crimes. That's how they got the match. They always take a confirming DNA swab when the defendant is arrested. Ultimately, they did get a search warrant and took the confirming cheek swab from him. But the point is that he's telling a story at trial that makes identification irrelevant, and yet he did something before. It wasn't a statement. We're not talking about Fifth Amendment, really. He did something. He refused to give evidence of his identity. Why would you do that if identity doesn't matter? Now, the defense seems to agree that it's proper to use, it can be proper to use this evidence for impeachment. But their argument, as far as I can tell, is, well, there's a lot of other reasons why a person might not want to give DNA evidence. We have important privacy concerns as to all the biological information contained in there. But the prosecutor was permitted to use this evidence to impeach his story. It doesn't have to completely disprove his story to be valid impeachment. He can give plenty of other reasons why he refused.
But we're still back at that fundamental question. What exactly was being impeached?
His story at trial.
Just his story at trial was this was a consensual act.
Right.
And this impeached that how?
The fact that he refused to provide evidence of his identification initially is some indication that between that time and trial, he made up this story, at which identification wouldn't matter. So if your defense...
We're having a hard time with that logic. Okay, I mean, his story at trial is, I did have sex with this woman.
Right, it was me. Therefore, my identity doesn't matter. I'm not disputing my identity.
Suppose that he was going to say, I mean, that was what he had in mind at the time he was arrested, but of course he doesn't have to talk about it. Right? He doesn't have to admit anything when he's arrested.
Right. Well, he wasn't arrested. This wasn't even custodial interrogation. This was a phone call from Washington to Arizona.
Maybe you could go on at greater length in some way and try to help us understand what you're saying, because it just doesn't look like there was. We're really having a hard time with that argument.
If you have a right to refuse to provide a cheek swab, and his attorney gave the explanation at trial that, you know, he refused on advice of counsel. That's why he didn't give a cheek swab. His attorney recommended he not.
Well, I mean, why would it even come up?
Well, the fact that he talked to an attorney would.
No, the fact that he refused to give a cheek swab.
Because it's.
Why does anybody have to explain that?
Well, if you choose, as the court, if you look at Martin, which I sent up yesterday as additional authority, that's the Supreme Court's case where they said, you can impeach a defendant who takes the witness stand. You can argue on cross-examination that he had the opportunity to tailor his testimony by sitting there through the trial and listening to all of the other witnesses. And the court said in that case, the defendant, once he takes the witness stand, is a witness like any other witness. Now, this might not have been very highly impeaching evidence. It certainly wasn't going to carry the day for the state if the jury believed the defendant's story. He had an explanation for why he didn't give the cheek swab. My attorney recommended I not do it. So it wasn't that really critical.
What is going to make them believe of the defendant? I mean, the difficulty that we're having is that it seems to me that a jury can be influenced by, why didn't you talk to the police? You didn't have anything to hide. You know, we don't allow that kind of argument or testimony. You don't have to talk. Okay,
right.
And I think even the Ninth Circuit has said you don't have to let somebody take your DNA.
And
it seems like it comes down to an argument that, well, if you weren't guilty, you know, anybody who doesn't have something to hide, only somebody that has something to hide would refuse a reasonable request by police to turn over their DNA. That argument just can't be right.
No, if he
You're
had...
You're not saying it's right.
No, I'm not okay. saying that's right. If he had maintained at trial that it wasn't him, if identity was still an issue at trial, if the story he told at trial put his identity in question, you couldn't have impeached him with his refusal to give his DNA swab. It would have been entirely consistent, and you wouldn't have commented on it. But his story was completely inconsistent with any desire at all to hide his identity. So it had some impeachment value, which the trial court, which Judge North recognized. And Judge North allowed the state to use that as impeachment. You can even impeach a defendant with pre-Miranda statements if they're inconsistent with the story at trial.
Could you give an example of a case in which that was allowed so that we can try to compare or find some analogy of impeachment?
For the Fourth Amendment? Well, McNatt is the closest, probably. That's a federal case cited in my brief. Most of the cases talk about impeaching to refute. At trial, you say it wasn't my apartment, and they say you refused to let us search. That's evidence of dominion and control. But McNatt was a little different. The defendant at trial comes up with a story that the police planted drugs in my pickup truck. And the state was allowed to impeach him with his refusal to allow them to search. You're getting closer to it there. There isn't an exact analogy to this, but the fact of the matter is you can impeach a defendant under the right circumstances. This may not have been very powerful impeachment, but it was proper impeachment. And if you look at whether it really made any difference, the defense attorney was going to talk about the defendant consulting with a lawyer anyway, because the defendant never told the police this detailed story about this encounter with a prostitute that of course he didn't have to, and the prosecutor didn't comment on that.
The fact that he, as you put it, came up with a story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, possibly he was telling the
right.
truth.
Oh, that
One
was
assumes
for the,
that he was. So it wasn't something he came up with.
Well, personally, right. That's what the jury concluded, though. They found him guilty. So it was for the jury to decide whether he was coming up with the story. But that was obviously the prosecutor's theory, was that he changed the story. Now, she never said anything about you didn't give this story to the police. But the defense attorney, who... David Roberson's been doing trials for a long time. He knew that was going to be in the jury's mind. Well, why didn't you tell the police this? So you're telling us this for the first time. So he's going to tell the jury, you know, he realized this was a serious case. He consulted with counsel. He decided not to do it. Now, Detective Knutson testified, when I first talked to him, he said he'd give a DNA swab. So this fits in perfectly. Then I consult with counsel. He says, don't do any of this stuff. Well, what does it add if he decided not to talk further to the police? What does it add to say he also decided not to give a DNA cheek swab? I mean, his attorney argued it that way. It's perfectly reasonable. So I would argue it's harmless, even if it was error for impeachment. And I guess I don't have much time left. So as far as the comment in closing was improper under Washington law, but under the circumstances, given that nobody in the courtroom thought this was a Fourth Amendment search, it can't be said that the prosecutor's comment was flagrant and ill-intentioned or that it couldn't have been cured by a jury instruction. It could have been. The cases where it can't are far different. So unless the court has further questions, I would ask the court to find that in any event, even if you find this was error, there was no prejudice to the defendant. Thank you.
Thank you. You have about 5 minutes left. You don't need to take it all if you don't need to.
Thank you. I'll just make a few brief points in rebuttal, Your Honor. What the prosecutor said in closing was, you don't want to provide your DNA sample because you know it's going to be there because you're guilty. If this impeaches Mr. Gauthier, then it impeaches every single defendant who ever testifies. That simply can't be the rule. Just to address briefly, I think impeachment by pre-arrest silence that Your Honor was asking about is the type of thing where, for example, if Mr. Gauthier, as he didn't tell the police this story initially, pre-arrest, pre-Miranda warnings, there's some case law indicating that that could be used to impeach in the form of cross-examination. You didn't tell this story to the police, did you? That would be impeachment with pre-arrest silence. But there simply is no direct correlation like that with the refusal to provide a DNA sample. As Your Honor has pointed out, he didn't bring that up. The outcome of the trial would likely have been different. This was a pure credibility call. Both Mr. Gauthier and the alleged victim told stories that had some troublesome inconsistencies in them. The jury was in the position of sifting this through, trying to figure out who to believe. Under those circumstances, this is exactly the kind of error that was likely to affect the outcome. And finally, there was some recognition of the fact that the Fourth Amendment and that Article 1, Section 7 were at issue here. Defense counsel actually mentioned in the first volume of Report of Proceedings at page 140, defense counsel actually mentioned in passing that Mr. Gauthier did have a right to refuse consent. And cases as early as Surge in 2007 have been suggesting that DNA swabbing should be considered a search. Other bodily fluids type searches are considered searches. Under those circumstances, that consideration should have been well known. And we would just ask that the court reverse. Thank you.
Thank you.